It has been a blessing to spend this last week of Advent immersing myself in the story of Mary's visitation to Elizabeth and considering what it has for us. This week, our family also celebrated the birthday of our first son, Hayden, and Hayden arrived significantly after his due date, and so I spent Advent that year acutely aware of the hope and anticipation and longing for new life as I waited for him to arrive. Experiencing Advent in the final weeks of pregnancy and holding a newborn on Christmas Eve made both Advent and the Nativity come alive in new and deeply meaningful ways for me that year. And I often find myself through the month of December thinking back to that as I wondered how much longer. And that's what Advent is about. That Advent, I really began to understand the concept of waiting and hope and yearning. In this passage, though, we find Mary not about to deliver a baby with that heavy longing. In this passage, she has just barely received this news that she's going to have this baby. And she's rushing off with the weight of this wondering to her cousin Elizabeth. And before we get into their visit and their meeting, I think it's helpful to place it in the context of the chapter we find it in. So Luke, this is all in chapter 1. It's a heavy chapter. He begins the chapter by introducing us to Zechariah, a priest who is serving in the temple, chosen to be the one who goes in at this time to burn the incense in the sanctuary. So while he's doing this, an angel appears to him and tells him his wife is going to have a son who will be filled with the Holy Spirit and will prepare the people of God for the coming of the Lord, the Messiah. Zechariah says, "I'm not so sure that can happen. My wife and I are old. She's been unable to have children." And the angel chastises him, telling him that because of his disbelief, he will be unable to speak until after the child is born. He leaves the temple, can't explain what happened to him, goes home, and sure enough, his wife Elizabeth becomes pregnant. So after Luke tells us of this, he introduces us to Mary. And I'm going to read the part leading up to what we just read because I think it's helpful to sort of understand what she's just heard. This is Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And so that's where we just heard. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town, the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And as I've been pondering these and reading this week, I've been looking at some art and some different images of Mary and Elizabeth meeting. And so those are going to be behind me. They'll just kind of go on and feel free to listen or just contemplate on your own of this meeting of Mary and Elizabeth. There's a broad variety of modern and contemporary and very traditional, and do what you like with those. Also, I did not attribute any artists. I apologize for that. These are like, if you want to know, if you Google Mary and Elizabeth art, these are among the first 20 that will come up. So, here we have these two women. Up until this point in their lives, neither of them have been particularly remarkable. Elizabeth, an older woman, the wife of a priest, whose life has had a dark mark of not being able to bear children in a culture where that is so wrapped up in a woman's value. Mary, likely a young teen, betrothed to be married, both of them unexpectedly and miraculously pregnant. It seems as though Mary had not known of Elizabeth's pregnancy until Gabriel told her. Having just received this message that Mary will somehow bear this great child, and Gabriel gave her Elizabeth as a sign of God's ability to work this miracle, she rushes to see Elizabeth. Who else could she possibly talk to at this time? Who else could possibly understand? In Elizabeth, she knows she is likely to find a safe person to share her amazement, confusion, questions, strange physical experiences of pregnancy. And so she got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It is here, in the meeting of these two ordinary women, that the Holy Spirit first moves in Luke's gospel. Here, in the meeting of these two ordinary women, that the news of what God is about to do in the world is proclaimed, as Mary's song exclaims the many ways God's work in the world goes against the familiar patterns of power. Mary and Elizabeth are illustrating this reality as they understand and embrace the work of God in ways that Zechariah appeared unable to. Zechariah, a priest serving in the sanctuary, represents the religious establishment. If anyone should have got it, you'd think it would be a servant of God in God's sanctuary. It could have been him to burst forth with this news of what God is about to do. But in his inability to receive Gabriel's message, he is now literally unable to speak and is bypassed as the one who gets to proclaim God's great acts. And so it is these two humble women, without status or power, who are the ones representing and articulating the unexpected ways God is coming to redeem. Both Mary and Elizabeth have something to teach us in this text, and so I'm going to spend a little bit of time thinking about each one. Elizabeth extends welcome to Mary, who is an unexpected visitor. Elizabeth's welcome ushers in not only Mary, but the Holy Spirit, who enables Elizabeth to recognize and bless Mary's unique situation in this special pregnancy. Elizabeth could have dismissed Mary in disbelief. Virgins just don't get pregnant. She could have scorned and shamed Mary. Pregnant out of wedlock? She could have been jealous. Why does this young, unmarried woman become the mother of the Lord? Wasn't Elizabeth, the wife of a priest, better suited for such a role? But instead of any of these responses, she says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." In her gracious hospitality and welcome of Mary, Elizabeth welcomes the Holy Spirit, which blesses both of them in their ability to share in the wonder and awe at what the Lord is doing in their midst. I hope that we can follow Elizabeth's example, especially in this holiday season. I'm sure that maybe many of us will be meeting with cousins or family members. We might find ourselves confronted with people who have news that might surprise or unsettle us. May we have the grace to see this other as bearing our Lord in some way. May we welcome them, set aside any desire to scorn or shame, and instead, with the help of the Holy Spirit, bless them. And in so doing, may we, like Elizabeth, experience great joy. Elizabeth blesses Mary, saying, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Mary, what belief! Her belief is held up as her example throughout history and the reason she is so honored. Such belief could not have been easy. It involved great risk. In choosing to believe and faithfully respond to the angel's message to her, Mary risked the reputation of herself and her family. Who would believe how she had become pregnant? or even give her the opportunity to explain herself. She risked her security. Joseph would have been well within his rights to have broken off the engagement. What future would an unwed mother have? She risked her very life. Pregnancy outside of marriage could have been punished by death. Mary's belief and faithfulness brought with it considerable risk, and yet she believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. While she is no doubt highly favored and blessed among women, this choice to believe and move through her belief to faithful action was a burden as well as a blessing. We too, like Mary, are the recipients of some lofty, outrageous, and miraculous promises. In our scriptures, we have promises of healing and liberation, of peace and forgiveness, of a coming rule of justice, of health, of shalom. Like Zechariah, it can be easy for us to hear these promises, consider our own circumstances, our family strife, our illness, our global war, poverty, and become overwhelmed. We could say to the angel, "How can I be sure of this? It doesn't really look like these promises are going to come true." Just like it was for Mary, belief for us can be risky. If we really believe that things work the way Jesus said they do and act accordingly, we risk embarrassment, we risk our own security, and perhaps our very lives. I've been spending the past couple of weeks for an assignment reading closely the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And man, if we live like this, we're going to look like some pretty crazy people. And it's going to leave us perhaps open to some questioning and some scorn. But it would also open us to the immense blessings of the kingdom. Just like Mary and Elizabeth, we could share in that community of believers with the presence of the Holy Spirit and get a front row seat to the miraculous establishment of God's kingdom. We're about to celebrate one of the most unbelievable things. Tomorrow night, we'll gather and we'll light a Christ candle and we'll proclaim that God loved us enough to become one of us in the form of a baby named Jesus. We'll proclaim that this baby's life, death, and resurrection were somehow God's plan for the redemption of the world, and that while it's not done yet, Jesus has promised that it will be done through us, his church, and that he will return to fully establish his reign of justice and peace. May we, like Mary, have the courage to believe that the Lord will fulfill his promises to us. And may we, like Mary, carry those promises within us in faithful obedience and anticipation.